People ask themselves, how do I listen to the Ashkoch of the Borei Olam? So this is a big sugya. But the Tzibur as a whole was forced to think about that and these terrible incidents which happened, like the children of Ross, his family in Gilo, which these things, when you're learning here in Yeshiva, or when you are learning in Hebron, or that happens in your backyard. So one has to understand, or one has to find a way how to relate, how to take a message out of such a terrible incident. So I try to do that. But I try to do that with, we'll see that, not that I have any intention to tell you what was meant from the Ashgacha Eloyin. I have no intention to tell you that, even though I say something, because I say something personal. But I only try to find a way. How would be the way of approaching such a terrible matzah, or such a terrible message? What will be the way? What is the message? Everyone has to think by himself in a certain way. But one has to find, how do I approach that? So the first step in approaching such a terrible thing is always that people have this statement, which is absolutely right and absolutely necessary, that you say, Vadai, the Borei Olam had his cheshbonos. That means tzaddik v'yoshohu keil emuno ein ovel, for sure that the Borei Olam has his cheshbonos. So the Borei Olam has his cheshbonos, so that's the emune l'chayre, which is needed. And there you are finishing your work on emune. You have to be strong with that the Borei Olam has his cheshbonos. So I want to be chaylik on that. I think this is absolutely necessary that you are having the clarity that vadai keil emune ein ovel tzadik v'yoshohu. But this only enables you that you should be able to think, what did the Borei Olam speak to you? Because you are so clear that there is a cheshbon. You are so clear that the Borei Olam had his cheshbonos and bringing down this terrible thing onto the tzibur, onto these people. He had his cheshbonos. So that means that you are not having this, I would call that even haughtiness in a certain way. You don't have this self-perception that you are telling yourself, or you are telling the people, what was the intention of the Borei Olam. Because the intention of the Borei Olam was for sure tzaddik v'yoshohu. He had an intention which is straight, and a cheshbon which is 100% right. There's no question in the world about that. But this is not your business. Your business in that realm is only a general one. That means I have to, in a general way, accept that the Borei Olam has his cheshbonos. On that approach, the Torah speaks about Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron HaKohen said, Vayidoim Aaron. He didn't say anything, because he admitted that the cheshbonos of the Borei Olam, which were definitely there, those were cheshbonos which were very much negiah to the Klal Yisrael too, because those were people which were bigger than him and Moshe Rabbeinu, the way Moshe Rabbeinu told him afterwards. But these, the cheshbon with these, with the Mises Pnei Aaron, that was a cheshbon which was for sure right, and for sure that was the cheshbon of the Borei Olam which he wanted. But the Aaron HaKohen didn't have anything to say about that. So the same thing is by us. For sure we know that this is 100% right, and what the Borei Olam did was no question that there are cheshbonos, but we don't have the necessity to reinforce the tzad of the Borei Olam. He knows what he does. He doesn't need your haskoma. Only he needs your emuna, that vadai, that is the way it is. Vadai, this is goes with the cheshbon, and it's tzedek, it's righteous to do that. Vadai. But that's the first thing. So this vados enables you, gives you space that you should be able to think yourself. Now, when you think yourself about what is the message, the emune, which is demanded over here, is an emune which is facing the tragedy, not an emune which is explaining away the tragedy. The big mistake. People think that the emune which is needed in such terrible situations is that you are persuading yourself or the other one that basically nothing bad happened. That's what emunah means. And I get that over and over again. Not once, not twice. It is nearly, I would say always, but I am not sure whether there was one or two exceptions. But besides one or two exceptions, when people spoke to me after they went through such an ordeal, that they had such a thing, Chachmona Litzlan, happening to them, and afterwards, after the shiva, they spoke to me, once in a while, even in the middle of the shiva, spoke to me, always is the same thing, that there were people, and not a vanishing amount, Elo, a big amount of people, which spoke to them in that way, that in the middle of this speaking, the Avelim themselves had a question, why don't we change places? Perhaps you want to sit down and I will sit up because it's such a great thing which happened to me just now. This is not emune, Rabbeisai. This is flat out achzorius. When that what Judaism means, when that is what Judaism means, I quit the job. This is not Judaism. This is not emune. This is flat out achzorius. Achzor. Also in this case, by Mishpachat Gross, someone which was there, I wasn't by the Shiva. I have to perhaps speak to the people, but I wasn't by the Shiva. But someone which was there by the Shiva said, the way the father looked at the people which told him that his Groyshen and Shomers and things was a way of being simply hurt. Yeah? You simply hurt the person because you do not approach the tragedy which is there. You try to explain that away. This is a very wrong approach. A very wrong approach, Rabbi Yisai. Yeah? That is not the emune which is needed. The emune which is needed is emune where you can face the tragedy and not explain that thing away. Yeah? You will tell me, Rabbi Akiva, when he saw the foxes coming out of Mokam HaMikdosh, then he said, he smiled and said that there will be a Geula, there will be a third base HaMikdosh, because these two Nevuahs in the end of Makkas. So that was Rabbi Akiva only after years and years of a fact, which the base HaMikdosh was not there, and then he saw these foxes coming out, then he made a limud that there will be a base HaMikdosh Lishi. But when Rabbi Akiva would see the Beis HaMikdosh burning, and by the burning of Beis HaMikdosh, he would smile and say, I am so clear that there will be a third Beis HaMikdosh, his friends would just throw him into the fire together with the Beis HaMikdosh. Because no, that's not a Jewish way to react to tragedy. You do not smile when there is a tragedy. No, you do not do that. That has nothing to do with emunah. No. Huh? This is a similar thing which you do. You take this background, which you say, Vadai tzadik v'yoshohu, and put it into the foreground. And say, that's the whole picture. That's the whole thing. And you are lacking a very basic step in emunah. So this basic step in emunah, which I try now to explain, this basic step in emunah is only able for people which they do some work with that. Yeah? The way we try to work a little bit on emunah. So you see that when you have emunah or you try to work on emunah, this is not always comforting. Once you like to work on emunah, it makes you work harder. Because then you have to say, what does the Borei Olam want from me? I understand that when you speak to a big audience, which has no shaykhs to avoid altogether, you have to say some conclusion, which is a very quick one, you know? I understand that. But when you really want to work on emunah, then you are obligated to take that thing in a serious way and say, my emunah has to be able to relate to the tragedy the way it is. There I am standing. I am not a Novi. I don't stand by the side of the Bir Oilom. I am not a Novi. I didn't get the message from the Bir Oilom. I don't. I am standing by the side of the pain. There I am. And it's painful for me too. And much more painful for the people which are hurt by themselves. So, there I am. And now I have to be a Maimin standing on this side. And Beshum Ponim Roifen, not leaving that side, I'd say, the whole Emunah only makes that this thing is not there, and I am just jumping up to the side of the Bir Oilom, and there I'm very much confident, and say, I am fine, you know, Tzadik V'Yosheru, they are Cheshboinus. This is wrong. Yeah? It's needed, again, it is needed, you need that thing, because you need this clarity that they are Cheshboinus from the Bir Oilom, for sure. But that's in the background. But there is another step in Emunah which speaks to you, where you are. And there where you are, that is what we're dealing with. Yeah? Now, there are people which do it like this. And this, I am very much chaylik, because that is our work, that we have to listen to the Hashkocha. But people do it like that. They say, there is something terribly happening. And Loshnore is terrible. And then they make Gzeir Shove. They say, terrible, terrible. So I may have to work on Loshnore. Yeah? Yeah? So this is an approach which, according to my opinion, is not edible. Not because something terrible, and Loshnore is terrible, you can't make that. Or they can't make other things which are terrible. This is like, I don't want to say it too harsh, but it sounds to me, it's close, that you take the tragedy and use it to promote your own thing, you know? You have, your thing is Loshon Hara, or your thing is Raid of Sholem, or your thing is something else, and then you use that tragedy, and you make that what you are so terrible, so you have to work on that. But you don't listen to what the Bir Oilom did. This is not a right approach. Evoji. What?
You say, I don't know why it happened, and I probably will never know.
Or, of course you have to say that.
Or can you say, you know, I might know, but I'm going to put it away to the side.
No. You can't, you are approaching that thing that you say, I don't know why it happened, but it's for sure a cheshbon from the Bir Oilom, but it still speaks to me, because it hurts me. So that is a special shmuz. That this work I describe over here is a very personal work, and you have to understand that this is more healthy for things which are happening in your environment. This is one of the big problems of this vast knowledge you have through newspapers and things like this. You know everything which happens in the world, and you can't digest anything anymore, because you can't really listen to so many messages every single day. But this one is what he learns in Mir Yeshiva, the father, you know, or in Hebron, or his son learns with my grandson in the same cheder in a parallel class. Yeah? So that is very much on your plate, you know, there you are. That's just your neighbor. So that speaks to you. So that's a very natural thing, that you have to create a response to that. Not by everything you have to create a response, but by these things for sure. You know, it's just next to you. So, but you can't say terrible and then terrible, because that's like abusing the incident. You take that incident and try to go stronger with your old message. That's not listening to what's happened. Yeah. So you have to be very careful that you try to listen what happened. Now, in this case, which is so terrible, in this case, there was a special thing in this case, which makes the work on Emunah much more important than in all the other cases I know. Because it says in the Pasuk, we say it every day in Tachanun, it says in the Pasuk, Breuges Racheim Tizkoil. Now that's the Pasuk. So What does that mean? When the Boreolam will be Bereuges, we say, oh, no, don't be Bereuges. You should have Rachmonis. But it's very similar to what the Gemara says, Al Yiratze Odom Es Chaveiroi B'Shas Kaisel. Yeah? You shouldn't be Meratze B'Shas Kas. And you learn that from the Boreolam. That's right. Boreolam told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanicholi, wait till the Kas is over. So what do you say to the Boreolam? Bereuges Rachem Tizkor. What do you say? But no, when he has a cast, there is a reason for that. You can't just say, no, don't do that. How do you daven for such a thing, you know? There is a reason for it being cast. So the pshat in the posuk, the way someone already 400 years ago said that, the pshat in the posuk is not that he shouldn't be Bereuges, only should have Rachmonis. It's not like this. It is, when the Boreolam has cast, then we ask him, please, give me a possibility to receive that, and I shouldn't be broken. That's the Rachem Tisko. It's like I should have a kli to receive that kas. It shouldn't break me. That's the Bereuges Rachem Tisko. That's a pshat in the posuk. That's what we ask the Boreolam for. That means there is kas going on, but this kas shouldn't break me. Now, over here, in these two incidents, also in Gilo and also by the Mishpachat Gross, in a certain way, this was a kas without Rachmonis. The Boreolam didn't leave a clay kibul to receive that. He did not. By the Mishpach in Gilo, for sure. There's no one to say Kaddish, you know. That's really without Rachmonis. And by the Gross family, the same thing, that there are four children, so now two, with the artificial thing, and hopefully you will put them back, you know, but it's like, basically, the goof is gone, by all the four, at once, you know, that's on Rachmonis. And the whole thing, which happening there, we hope that the goof, which is the clay kibul of the neshama, the goof should be restored, that he should be able to be received, to receive the neshama fully again. The same thing we have to do. That's like a work which goes in the same vein. That we now have to put, make happening, that we have a clay kibul for this terrible gzeira. It's the same thing. Yeah? We have to have a clay kibul. That's our schus. But we have to create the Rachmonis. The Boreolam didn't do it. The Boreolam gave that makke without Rachmonis. He didn't leave anything to work with. That's it. Yeah? So, who has to create the clay kibul? That's myself. I have now to create that Rachmonis from the Boreolam. I have to be able to listen to what happened. Yeah? But it is on my side, again, I don't come and tell you the side from the Boreolam. Yeah? Not telling you, mi yoyredeya, mi yovin shmua, gmule cholov, that they're gewaltig, unbelievable, you know. Or the shomis from big tzadikim, or things like this. I won't say that. That could be the cheshbon from the Boreolam. That's his side. Bakasha, he doesn't need me. The Boreolam does not need me. He doesn't need my approval either. He doesn't need my perush. He is tzedek without my tosefet. But from my side, when I have to listen, there, when I don't do the job, nothing happens. I have to do that job. That's on me. I have to have the clay kibul from the side of the pain, where the Boreolam is telling me something. I have to provide some answer or some listening. Yeah? That I can get this message and I will try to think about what happened to me or to the people around me. Yeah? So that is the challenge. I think it's very clear. A lot of people make that mistake. When you are listening well, watch how what goes on in the community. So a lot of people, they just jump over to the side of the Boreolam. They jump over there and they say, oh, cheshbonos, and all different kind of things. And when not cheshbonos, then, this I heard too, then they make all kind of remozim and kimatrios and what, Rosh Tevis, Soifet Tevis, and they say all the different kind of things, which there you see why the Boreolam did that. Now, I don't know why the Boreolam did that. The question is, what did he do to me? What did he do? How does that affect me? Where does it speak to me? Why did he do it? Tzadik v'yosho. He doesn't need my approval. He doesn't need my haskome. He doesn't need that. I tell him, you're ganz gut. You know, I hab verstanden, was du hast gewollt. He doesn't need that. There, by Yidoy Maharoin, you can be very quiet. You don't have to say anything. And that's good. But there's still work left. That's not the end of Emunah. Because the end of Emunah is, where does it affect you? And there the Emunah gives the Borei Olam spoke to you. And it's only your work which does that job. Yeah? Because you don't know what the Borei Olam wanted from his side. Clear? Yeah? So what's that? Now, when the Borei Olam, even he is in chaos, but he is never wild. He is never, in American English you call that freak out, you know. The Borei Olam never makes something without any mahalach. He doesn't do that. Everything, even the chaos of the Borei Olam, has a mahalach. So in Meile, when something like this happens, you have to try to see, where is that sugya? What is the issue the Borei Olam addresses over here? You may think like this, because it goes with the mahalach. Everything the Borei Olam does is with the mahalach. Even the chaos, that's a big difference between him and us. When we are in rage, then we just do everything, because that is a human low reaction to that. The Borei Olam doesn't have that problem. When he is in chaos, he will bring something down to the world with an absolute, a clear message to it. It's a clear way to do it. So over here too. So what is it? So now comes a thing which I don't know. Till now, this I would say, till now. But now, this is a thing which I say personally. So, even though I say personally, but the Borei Olam screamed at us. That's for sure. So maybe I'll scream too. Huh? But it's not because I know what the Borei Olam wanted. I am not in that mood that I will tell you, I know exactly what's wanted over here. I do not know. I only try to locate a thing which I feel that I am lacking, and I feel that perhaps the Tzibur also could do something with that. I try to locate something like this and think, that's the sugya which I was spoken to. It could be you do different things with that. But be careful that you have to face tragedy. Yeah? Not explaining away anything. What you say in a certain way, you would have to be able to say that in front of the people which are ba'avelis. Perhaps they are not in the mood to listen to it. That's like the like a you have to understand that right. You know, I don't mean de facto to do that, but you have to be able that you are facing the tragedy and not looking away and say some nice words. Yeah, clear. So what I thought is like this: when we are thinking about what does the Borei Olam want from us, what does he want from us? So we say, he wants from us Maisim Tovim, mitzvahs, tshuva, mitzvahs, Maisim Tovim, and he wants tshuva, and he wants Torah, learning Torah. That's what he wants. So in a certain way, when we think about what does the Borei Olam want from the human being, from us, that means he wants from us something which is actual only from Bar Mitzvah and onwards. Before Bar Mitzvah, there's no one to speak to, you know. No one to speak to before Bar Mitzvah. Certain way. Yeah? No one to speak to. I understand. You can't reach Bar Mitzvah when you don't go through 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's I understand too, you know. But it's no one to speak to before Bar Mitzvah. Well, who is you speak to someone which is already an adult, which is already something understanding. You can learn with him something, a posuk, more. That's what you do. Yeah? Torah, mitzvahs, ma'isim tovim. That's what you want. That's where the Borei Olam enters the picture. You know, the Borei Olam took these children. And these children were not begil chinuch altogether. No. There were no gil chinuch. There was no gil chinuch there. They didn't have any averes. They didn't have any mitzvahs. And they didn't learn Torah. And even though the Borei Olam himself took them. And he took them in such a way, someone told me, he took it in such a way, even by the Unesani Toikev, he didn't imagine that you could have such a problem, you know? It was such an awkward way This thing happened, you know, something which is very unpredictable. Even, you know, in a general way, the Borei Olam took them, small children. They had no mitzvahs, they had no averes, and no learning Torah. But the Borei Olam took them. That means there's a sugya going on by the Beroilom when he says, this is my sugya. Huh? What is a sugya? So the sugya by little children are only two. Or one. It's chayim, the life itself, and it's midas. A person is born with midas. Midas are not changing afterwards. Chaim Briska already said that when you want to know what are the midas from a child, you have to look in the first 30 days, because after 30 days, the parents already destroyed the midas. That's what he said. But midas are just born with a child. Midas are there, and life is there. Nothing else. And now, you see, this you don't want. You don't want that the sugi of the Beroilam is midas and chayim. You don't want that. No, you don't want. Because when I tell you that Reb Chaim Vital says that midas roes are worse than averes, Reb Chaim Vital said it's a modne, no? Suddenly it's a modne. And then when I say further, I tell you a quote, not to shame the man which is still alive, and the Choshuva man which is still alive, which he once spoke with me, and he said, Leuchter, you know, Reb Chatzkel said in a Shmuz that Moshe Rabbeinu got praise not for him being a Talmid Chochm. He got praise for him being an Onov, Midas. That Reb Chatzkel said. And then this person told me, you are masculine, Leuchter, that we are not holding like this. In yeshivas, we don't hold like this. That's not our way in yeshivas. Yeah, but that wasn't Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. That's Reb Chaim Vital. He says that. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shabeach on Anova and not on being a Talmid Chochma. Because of Midas. That's right. So what do you say? You say, aber yeshivish. Was is yeshivish? Er kann doch gut lernen. Eh? Und hat da grobe Esrik. Und nicht nur einer. He has five Zeugim, three Lulovim, and he knows how to say a Svore. Und stinkt von Galve till the next door. Aber is doch yeshivish. Eh? That's our Messias in yeshivas. Not like the Chaim Vital, eh? And not like the Goen, and not like the Rambam. No midas, eh? Only Maisim, Mitzvahs, and Hidden for the Veres, and they know how to learn, and have a grobe Esrik, and so a good Svore, and you are about Gaive, about Kaive, Chendas Mormon, all the Midas Roars at once, and you can't sit with that guy in one room. Aber is yeshivish. A great yeshiva man. Yeah, kann gut lernen. Und du kannst gar nicht Standard nehmen. Von Rolf Galve stinkt bis in den Himmel. Eh? Aber yeshivish is er. Eh? Our way of chinuch. Our nice educational way. We educate people to be mushchosim in midas. Eh? Huh? That's our nice way. And the Beroi Olam told us, no, I am interested in life and midas. Because these children had no averes, no mitzvahs, and no learning going on. And even though the Beroi Olam took them. Huh? You don't want to hear that, huh? You don't want. No. It's much more easy that you say, no, I have to raise my I know I have to take a Esrik. I have to make a mezuzah, cross with the land with the goles, shlish from the Pesach, and then Efsher Azoy, aber Efsher Azoy, and Efsher Azoy, and Efsher Azoy. The Ramo, with the Zoy, with the Gleich, with the Krum, with the Dos, with the Jet. Da bist du ganz gut, yeah? Aber ich kann nicht reden mit dir. I can't look at you! All the midas roes come out from everywhere! Yeah, but yeshivi shizah, huh? Medaktik b'mitzvahs, huh? These children were not medaktik b'mitzvahs, Rabbi Yisai. Nothing. Not one diktuk mitzvahs. And not one toisvahs. And not one posuk. Nothing. And the Beroi Olam took them, huh? The Beroi Olam himself took them. Because that's his sugya. And we don't want to listen to that. Terrible, huh? It's not good to hear, I know. But believe me, it's not good to lose two children. No? What they go through is much worse than what I tell you. But we have to be able to listen. The Bore Olam spoke to us. He says something. He is telling us something with that, yeah? And the pain, you see, over here, I don't have to escape from the Avelim. I don't have to say, no, I can't tell you really that thing because I never, by mere, I will comfort myself and perhaps people like me that the Bore Olam had his cheshbonos and things like this. No, it's nothing comforting. It's not comforting altogether because it is painful. So for me, it's also painful. Yeah? People ask me, what do you mean with life? So with life, that could be very simple too, you know. We are not having the clarity that life itself is of worth. Life itself. But there are other things too. Life could be that how you are mekayim the mitzvahs, how you are davening, or how you are learning. I give a dugma from learning. It's all the same thing. We learn Torah, but you don't see that it's our life. Simply our life. It is very simple to see that, because when you have a pshat in a Gemara and someone else has another pshat, now it's very interesting. Efshar is anders, efshar is azay, efshar gor azay, efshar gor anders. But you don't have anything which is, that's it, and this you can't change. Do you have anything in Torah which you say, when this one is wrong, I will jump off the hilltop. I can't live. No, it's just the ganze Wort, you know. Ken zan azay, but you could be also different, you know, could look at the whole thing differently, you know. So, okay, let's do it. So I tell you, okay, take out your heart, you put your liver where the heart is, the heart you do down to the kidneys, and the kidneys you put on the ears, you know, and your two legs you put on here, you know. That's the way to live? No, you can't live like this. I'm a Kenny Slevin! You can't live like this! But with a krumme pshat, kennst euch this leben! Yeah? When Torah is your life, you say, Hihem chayeinu. But you know, every krumme pshat goes. Everyone, you know. It makes it even more interesting. Yeah? Hihem chayeinu. It's our life. But you can't live with the heart out. Our learning, when that's Hihem chayeinu, that means we are walking around with the heart outside, the lungs outside, the kliot outside, everything outside. That's the way you walk in the street. No, that's the way you die. Nice kihem chayeinu of learning, huh? Elama, kihem chayeinu bayas midus roes, yeah? Kihem chayeinu means, ich habe geschmack sein besser wie jener. That what we are, we think kihem chayeinu. Ich sage gute chabura, spüre ich sich angeblossen wie ein Ballon. Kihem chayeinu. That's right. Ich habe auch gefragt dem Rosh Hashiva, das ist kihem super chayeinu, ja? Aber der Teure soll sein Leben. No, no. No, that's not wanted. You don't know, it's not yeshivish. No, it's not. Huh? Fine, huh? Nice life. A nice midas. That's the Bore Olam. The Bore Olam over here screams at the tzibur. Now, again, I don't tell you that this is the message. I don't know. Chodeshke Musik. I didn't ask the Bore Olam, but I only don't want to leave the side of the pain. I'm not willing to do that. I don't want to leave that side and say, I understand that his cheshbonos are tzedek. No, no, no. This is for sure like this. He doesn't need me to tell you that. That's for sure. Tzadik v'yosho. I have to forcefully keep my place that I'm standing on the side of the pain. I'm not on the side of the cheshbonos for the Bore Olam. I'm not there. I'm the side of the pain. And now I have to listen. What did the Bore Olam tell me? That's the way to approach it. You could do it differently. You could say other things. I don't want to tell you that. My youngest son, he told me something which is much worse than what I told you. Much worse. Mamish much worse. But this I don't have the guts to tell you. You know? But this is, you have to make your thing, what does it speak to me? And then you have to work with that, you see. To be a maimin in that way, which we are going, that way is not a rosy way. It's not what you think about emunah. Emunah is always this nice and fine and makes everything pink. No, emunah makes things very difficult because the Bore Olam speaks to you. And that's not comfortable when he speaks to you. Yeah, but that's what emunah is. So I admit, I agree with that. that when you want to write in a newspaper or you want to speak to a big public which is not holding by work altogether, you can't really say what I tell you now. You can't do that. Because what will they do? They say, as mama skana, they always count it, as mausi makshav, what do you do now? Yeah? Please tell me a kabole. That is like a terrible. Then you say it, terrible, and you make a kabole. I mean, I'm not holding there. I try to listen first. And it's a very difficult thing to listen to, yeah, because it's painful. But you have to first listen, and then you have to think about that, and then you have to work further. And that's the way Emunah makes you work in a very sincere way, but it takes time and it takes effort. That's what Emunah is. There we are holding, you see? There we are holding. So I wouldn't say such a vad when there wouldn't be such terrible incidents. But terrible things happened. Terrible. It was really terrible. And when you are able only to even put the ear to that, and that your ear should be a mokum kabbalah for this terrible message the Boy Olam sends to the Tzibo, that itself could be a schus for these boys, that their clay kibul should also get back, and being able to receive the neshama back in a full sense, which that's our tfilis, that they will recover from that. Yeah? The recover means that the clay kibul should be able to go back. Well, that was kaput, that's what the poison makes, that the goof is gone, the goof can't function. Of course you have to daven. Of course you have to say tilim or whatever you do. Yeah? Of course. But there's a special work over here in Emunah which has to be done. And that's what I think is in this direction the way we spoke. Again, I don't take the clarity and the yumrah. I'm not crazy that I tell you that is what the Boy Olam meant. You have to think yourself. I only wanted to show you how to do that and what could be a maskone. But I think it was worthwhile to think together about this, the Ora Matzev we are in.